Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline, Hall of Fame pitcher. He was great not only as a starting pitcher, but as a closer as well. Beyond the calls, he was for the World Series last year, of course, with the Indians. Beyond the call for Fox Sports and on MLB Network. And MLB Network will air exclusively tomorrow at 5 p.m. Game 2 of this series. John Smoltz will be on the call with Matt Vasgersian and Tom Verducci as well. The great John Smoltz is with us now. John, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
John, let's get right to it. The biggest move in the last couple of days for as great a season as the Indians have had, and there's a lot of confidence, Terry Francona announcing that Corey Kluber would not start Game 1, and instead it would be Trevor Bauer with Kluber going to Game 2. I've been critical of the move. What's your thoughts on it?
I can't wait to talk to Terry and find out why. There obviously is a calculated reason. I can't and don't know what that is. Only thing that you can think about is that it's something they all decided on and felt good about. But, when you think about asking 100 people on this who's going to start Game 1 for the Indians, you're going to get 100 people to say Corey Kluber. So having said that, they have the most balanced pitching staff. It can be a psychological, maybe small advantage for the Yankees, but the end result is executing gives the Indians the biggest advantage in their rotation. Of course, the Yankees had to get here with the bullpen at full alert, and that would give the Indians the advantage, you would think, in Game 1 with the lack of use out of that bullpen. But, I'm a little bit perplexed by that, but we'll see how and why that was determined to be the rotation.
Yeah, we're trying to figure it out, and we really can't, other than the fact that, we trust, at least I do, trust that Terry Francona, a guy who's won a world championship before, is knows his guys better than everybody. I find it hard to believe that, maybe Corey Kluber would have said that I'd prefer to have this, a normal rest in the middle of the series as opposed to going into it. I guess that's the only thing I could take away. If they fall down 0-1, I'm going to be a little bit concerned, and I think Indians fans will certainly question maybe Terry Francona.
Yeah, and again, I had to ask the person that gave me the information five times. Are you sure? But having said that, there may be contributing factors to what you just said, and the fact they may not want Kluber on the road, or Bauer on the road and out of the pen after Game 1, 3 and 4. I don't know, but execution at this time of the year, Game 1s are very important. 72% of the team that wins Game 1 goes on to win the five-game series. Five-game series and all the past experience that I've had, the Game 1's the most important game of the series. So you got to feel great if the Indians win Game 1. Then they've got, of course, Kluber and Carrasco, the best 1-2 punch in the American League, at least the way they have pitched in the second half. And let's not forget, Bauer was 10-2 in the second half as well. It's just a little bit of a curveball, no pun intended, for most people who are expecting – this year's Cy Young Award winner to start Game 1, it just isn't be the case.
We're talking with Hall of Famer John Smoltz of MLB Network, of course Fox as well, and MLB Network will have Game 2 tomorrow, Game 1 tonight on Fox Sports 1, Indians-Yankees. And, John, you have a unique perspective compared to almost anybody else. You're one of the few people in the history of the game that has excelled as both a starting pitcher and a closer. It's like you, Dennis Eckersley, and a couple others. There's not that many. So talk about, the playoff time, it's all hands on deck, right? Like, you got Clevinger moving to the pen. You got Salazar moving to the pen. We saw yesterday Robbie Ray come out of the pen for the Diamondbacks. What's that like when you're used to doing one thing and all of a sudden you're asked to do another in a big spot. How tough is that?
Yeah, that's changed more than ever. You know, back in the day, which it never really happened, you know, especially with our staff, because we were pretty set. You could have thrown the three of us up in a hat, and anyone could have started game one. It wouldn't have changed the demeanor or the psychology. But having gone to the Penn and experienced that and know what that's like, you know, it has become the topic of baseball for the last 3 to 5 years. I don't think this trend can continue, but you have to have depth out of your starting rotation. It is very difficult to win 11 games and win the World Series without starting pitching. Now, in a small sample size, you can get away with it for a little while, like the Kansas City Royals seem to do, but it's not long-lasting. Those guys get hurt. You see what the Yankees have put together. They cannot continue to win a series after series after series without starters going deep. You saw what the Indians did last year. As great as they were, and as much as their bullpen got them to the World Series and almost won the whole thing, you know, it was 1.5 and a tired Kluber that almost, you know, just couldn't get it done. So I believe that the team that's the best balanced, of course, has a good bullpen, but the starters give you some depth, 5-6 innings, that's the team to watch out for. And that's why the Indians have been so good in the second half. That's why their bullpen has been, for the most part, fresh, with the exception of Miller going down with the knee injury. And that's why they're the most dangerous team in the American League, because of their balance. Now, the Yankees got to get something out of Gray, or, you can't keep taxing the bullpen like that.
John, I want to ask you about the Yankees specifically. You know, they looked so good the other night. I mean, they fall behind early, and you know, the way that lineup just got them right back in the game with the home runs and the big clutch hits early in that first inning, and you know, the way they sort of closed it out and ended up winning that game going away. How much can you take away from that game in terms of, like, momentum coming into this series against Cleveland now tonight?
Well, again, it's revolve around they can't do that against Cleveland game in and game out. I mean, they fall behind 3-0 in the first inning or second inning. It's a much more difficult proposition. The Minnesota Twins just weren't armed with enough arms to keep that offense, especially at home. Now, the Yankees at home are a much different team. They have power just about everywhere they go, but they're built for that ballpark. And the whole turnaround in the second half has really come down to September for Judge. He looks a little bit more comfortable, 15 home runs. The power breaking balls and the way that the Indians spin their breaking balls is going to give the Yankees fits if they command their fastball. That's why Kluber and Carrasco and even Bauer with his power breaking ball and cutter action, if he can command his fastball and get higher strikes, it's going to give the Yankees hitters a lot of trouble. And, you know, for a Yankees team that's built around the home run, they seem to be gelling at the right time. But, again, they're going to have to get – you know, if I'm Sonny Gray, I'm thinking I got to give my team 6-7 innings today. And Sonny Gray has been really good despite his record not being as good with the Yankees. They've not played great defense behind him, and they haven't scored runs. So I have been looking forward to this series for a while. I think this is a classic series with two teams that could easily win the World Series. And it all is going to come down to their starting pitching.
We're talking with Hall of Famer John Smoltz. You talk about the starting pitching there, John, and you mentioned Bauer. For all the talk of Kluber pitching game one, I think we'd all agree it's not about Bauer not being good. It's just about Kluber being great. But Bauer has been exceptionally good in the second half, especially the last 2 months of the season. What have you seen from him in these last 2 months that stands out? Because he struggled the first half. Overall, last year he didn't pitch great. But he has really been in a groove these last couple of months. What is the difference for him?
Yeah, I think it's fastball command, being able to not be in a lot of hittable counts. You know, 3-1, 3-2, he's able to throw he's throwing his slide or cutter, whatever you want to call it. The power breaking ball, anywhere between 30 and 40 times a game, he's going to get a lot of high strikes. If he gets high strikes, I don't care who's up there, they're in trouble. I mean, the high strike brings in that curveball, which is pretty difficult. You'll get a lot of called high strikes. It starts at the chest and ends at the belt. And then his ability to throw the chip, and he's learned and kind of, you know, he's a little bit freakish as far as the way he thinks and the way he goes about it. But to his credit, he's adjusted. He's learned how to throw a seamer. similar to his teammate Kluber. And it really is the attack of the fastball. Looks like he's throwing it uphill. He gives the illusion like it's a shot put. And when he's on, he can power the ball in the zone. And that's not what a lot of pitchers can live by with the Yankees. So he changes their eye levels. And the key is going to be not getting in hittable counts where he's confined to throwing the fastball and it being flat over the middle of the plate. And so far, just watching him, seeing him pitch this year, he looks comfortable and confident. And I say when a pitcher checks in, when they go through a stretch like he did, you start feeling a lot more like a different pitcher than the first half was not a good half. And really, for the most part, as he's pitched in the big leagues, he hasn't really adapted until this recent stretch of where he's putting it all together and figuring out that he doesn't have to throw as many pitches and be behind in the count. He can attack and really be on the offense.
Hey, John, I don't think this series is going to go 3-0 in favor of the Indians. I think it's going to get pushed out to 4 or 5 games at least. And Game 4 will be interesting because the Indians will have a dilemma on their hands in terms of who will start the game. Terry Francona has not really given us a great insight as to what he may do. May go with Bauer on short rest. Maybe starts Tomlin. Who knows? Maybe you bring Salazar in out of the pen. What do you think is the best move for Game 4 should we get there?
Well, I think it's all going to depend, obviously, on the series. If you're down 2-1, my guess would be Bauer likes to pitch, and he likes to pitch as often as possible. I don't think that's a problem. So maybe that's one of the contributing factors of having him be able to come back easily on 3 days rest versus Kluber. And, of course, they did that all year with him last year, and he was heroic until the, you know, Game 7. So maybe there is a little more of the strategy of playing the series the way you do with Nump, but I know this. I think for most Indians fans, and even maybe for fans of baseball, I know you got to think about Game 5, but if you line it up the right way and take care of business, you don't get to Game 5. Really, it's 1 and 5. Pitch starters will pitch 1, and he'll pitch start. He'll pitch Game 5. You rarely want to bring guys back on 3 days rest in a short series because you know it's a long journey, but he has so many weapons in the bullpen. He can make it a bullpen game. And that's the one thing that, you know, with Salazar down there and Clevinger, it has the feeling and the matchup that you can match almost what the Yankees can do when they bring in their big four quadrant guys that throw about 98 miles an hour. So to me, this series, you know, a little bit of the question mark, unknown and the wild factor. You would never think this before the season started, but it really could come down to Betances. Are they going to be use him? What is the role of Betances? Because he was so dominant for a while, and now he's kind of did not get used in the Twins game, and he hasn't used much down the stretch. I would venture to believe he's going to pitch tonight because they're shorthanded. So I very well could come down to the Yankees' role of Betances.
John, we've talked so much pitching, deservedly so, because that's going to be a huge factor in this series. But I wanted your thoughts on Jose Ramirez because, you know, obviously Francisco Lindor has gotten a ton of accolades from the moment he's come up to the big leagues, and he's deserved it. But it took Jose Ramirez a while for people to really notice him. I think after last year, people were like, yeah, he's good, but he's going to regress a little. I know I really thought he'd regress a little this year, and instead he went the opposite way. He's going to finish top five probably for the MVP. Your thoughts on seeing this guy progress the last few years?
It really is unbelievable. I mean, it's not big in stature. The guy, all he does is hit. It doesn't matter if it's right-handed or left-handed. I've been impressed. He is really an MVP candidate and probably should get a lot more votes than people will probably give him. But there's not a weakness in his game. I mean, there's nothing really, when you look at it down and up and down the chart, he handles the ball in, away, right, left, and, you know, he dominates the strikes. So pitchers cannot be fooled. I think he's just going to go the other way, and he's going to hit you with power. He's going to hit you with gaps, and he doesn't swing and miss them. That's the key in today's age where we so much don't care about the strikeout. He is very much connected with putting the ball in play and with power and gap to gap.
Game 1 of tonight's Indians-Yankees series will air on Fox Sports 1. Tomorrow's Game 2 will air exclusively on MLB Network at 5 p.m. Eastern. With Matt Vasgersian, John, and Tom Verducci on the call, fans can visit MLBnetwork.com for their local channel listings. John, we appreciate it so much. Thank you for joining us.
All right, my pleasure. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.